As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself independent of children's literature? Is that possible?
What? Is there a me outside of children's literature?
Well, hold on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Anne Bogle, and this is What Should I Read Next, episode 49. Welcome to the show that's dedicated to answering the question that plagues every reader. What should I read next? We don't get bossy on this show. What we will do here is give you the information you need to choose your next read. Today, we're kicking off a special five-day miniseries, What Should I Read Next for Kids and Kids at Heart. We're focusing on a variety of young and young at heart topics, children's literature, coming-of-age stories, literary heroines, kidlit for grown-ups, and more. We have a terrific lineup of guests for the week, and we'll be talking all about the pleasures of reading for a lifetime, whether you're 6 or 26 or 106. Today's episode is sponsored by Brightly, a website that helps parents raise kids who love to read. It's packed with resources to help you find books your kids will love. Search for great books by age, from toddlers to teens, or by popular topics, whether you want graphic novels or diverse books or something for a kid who's obsessed with Harry Potter. You'll also find plenty of tips and advice to help you and your kids get the most out of your reading experience. Check it out at readbrightly.com. I'm so excited to welcome Sarah McKenzie onto the show today because you've been asking for her for a long time, since the very beginning of this podcast. That's because Sarah is the creator of the Read Aloud Revival, a blog, podcast, and member site devoted to helping you make lasting and meaningful connections with your kids through books. In this episode, we dive into Sarah's personal reading journey, talk about her family favorites, share tips for encouraging reluctant readers, and give tips for giving books to kids. We also share personalized book recommendations with real kids who got in touch with us through the newsletter. I can't wait to share this one with you. Stick around after my chat with Sarah for a super special way you can participate in the Reading for a Lifetime discussion this week. Here's Sarah.
Sarah, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I am thrilled to have you. From the very beginning, people have been saying, get Sarah McKenzie. We want to hear Sarah McKenzie. So today is their lucky day.
Well, it's fun for me to come talk to you about grown-up books because I'm always talking about kid books, which is, of course, a blast. And I love talking about kid books on the Read Aloud Revival, but I've been excited to come chat with you too.
Well, we get to talk a little bit about kid books, but
that's where I'm most comfortable anyway. That's what I read more than anything else. So it's good.
So we're kicking off What Should I Read Next for Kids and Kids at Heart today with you. I am really excited to hear about your adult books because, you know, we never hear about your reading journey as a person on the podcast, or at least it gets way overshadowed by the kids because it is the Read Aloud Revival, you know? So I want to hear all about the Read Aloud part, but first let's talk about you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself independent of children's literature? Is that possible?
What? Is there a me outside of children's literature?
Well, hold on. Yeah, it's like taboo. Don't use the word book, but give us your biography.
As a kid, I was a voracious reader. I read like Babysitter's Club and Roald Dahl and just stuff. I fell in love with reading when I was young. I don't really remember a time when I wasn't reading. I wasn't reading like really good, high quality children's literature or anything. I just read whatever I found on the shelf that looked interesting. I was totally into the Anastasia books.
Oh, I did loved you read those. I did.
I figured.
Her name was too long and the letters went into her armpit.
Yeah.
We drive by a house that has a little tower almost every day in our neighborhood. And I, every single day, almost, I think about Anastasia Krupnik because of that tower.
Oh, that is too much. I love it. Okay. So yeah, so I read this a lot as a child, but then, and I read when, so we have six, my husband and I have six kids, and they're now between the ages of 15 and three. The youngest are three-year-old twin boys. And when our oldest kids were little, I would read to them bedtime stories and, you know, just normal. I would read to them a little bit every day. But it wasn't until they were probably some, you know, maybe 8, 6, and 4 or something like that, where I had heard Andrew Pudua from the Institute for Excellence in Writing talk about how the best way to help your children become good communicators was to memorize poetry and to read aloud a ton. And he was really calling for parents whose kids were reading on their own to keep reading aloud to their kids, just a ton, and to read books that everybody enjoyed, not just the kids. And so that kind of set me on this new journey of being really intentional about having lots of family reading time and making reading a whole family experience. And ever since, we've kind of just read aloud a ton of books. My kids are all voracious readers as well. And then now I read, I would say I read probably, I don't even know the ratio, maybe 5 or 6, maybe more than that, kids books for every, you know, grown-up book that I read. Mm-hmm. So I'm a very steeped in kid lit. But the great thing is, I really think that there's a C.S. Lewis quote that we quote all the time on the Read Aloud Revival podcast, that a children's story that's only enjoyed by children is not a good children's story. And I think that's so true, because I have noticed time and time again that the books my kids enjoy the most are the ones that I'm enjoying as well. So I love that idea of the whole family enjoying books together rather than it being something we do to our kids or reading for our kids, like giving them vegetables, you know, because it's good for them.
What did you love to read as a teen and as a younger adult before you had kids?
I read like every single book that was in the library that was in that Christian romance, like Jeanette Oak and Robin Jones Gunn, and kind of those Christian romance books, like historical fiction. Uh-huh. I read a lot of Willow Davis Roberts, and I'm trying to remember what else I read. Is, of course, I mean, the obligatory Anne of Green Gables, because that is the best series ever written, I'm sure. So I read that multiple times. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I loved.
Mm-hmm. I did not expect that. That is not how I saw your young reader history. But it wasn't, I didn't know I had preconceptions until you started talking. And then I went, what?
And then I said Babysitter's Club. And you're like, wait, what?
Oh, I expected the Babysitter's Club.
Okay.
Yeah, I figured that was par for the course because we're about the same age, you know.
Yep.
So what about now? What are the last few, you know, okay. We're starting this kid week.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that good literature is just good literature. You know, Madeleine L'Engle said she never set out to write a children's story. She just wrote a good book and then the marketers put it where they put it. So, however, we're asking for grace that we distinguish between grown-ups books and children's books. You know what we mean. We're trying.
Yeah.
Words are hard. Okay. So what are the last few grown-up books you've read?
The most recent ones are, so I really loved Lisa Genova. I loved Love Anthony and Still Alice.
Uh-huh.
I started reading Inside the O'Briens, but I didn't quite get into that one as much. And I don't know if it's just because I had a teetering stack of to be read books on my nightstand, and I was just trying to fly through a whole bunch of these kid lit books that I wanted to read in time for a deadline, or if it's because I just couldn't get, it just didn't pull me in like her others. So
that's the only one by her I didn't finish.
Love Anthony is probably my favorite of hers. And I don't know if it's just because it's dealing with nonverbal autistic child, and it just really puts you, she has an amazing gift for getting inside the mind and the life of somebody who's struggling with a neurological disorder of some kind, depending on which book it is. And I just think maybe I didn't get sucked in quite as thoroughly, or maybe it was just that it was too intense, this newest one. I'm not sure, but it didn't grab me like the others.
Okay. What else besides Lisa Genova?
Okay. So what I'm reading right now, I don't know if you like these. I'm kind of like
I'm
giggling
so
to myself
curious
to say this. I really like The Number One Ladies Detective Agency by Alexander McCall Smith.
Yes.
I was like, I need to know what the gasp means. What does the gasp mean?
Here's what I need you to know about that author.
Okay.
He came to speak at my local public library and he wore a kilt.
Get out. Mm-mm. For real.
He has a delightful accent to match the kilt. He was talking about Emma, a modern retelling, but he got tons of questions about The Number One Ladies because everybody who's read that series, I mean, that series, people are passionate about that series.
It's so funny because I do not like series in general. I get very bored with the same characters over and over again. So I, especially like with my kids, I'll read the first book in a series and then tell them, if you want to read more, you're on your own. But even with like my own books, I do the same thing. But that one, I just can't get enough of. Okay, here's the thing. So I read the first book and I liked it. Okay, I liked it enough to want to pick up the next one. But I was working at the library at the time, and I had this really long commute when I would work. I worked on call, so I'd work at all the different library branches, and I was working consistently like 45 minutes away. So I would be in that car for an hour and a half each time I worked, and I would listen to an audiobook because I get in more reading that way. So I started listening to those books on audio, and they are exquisite on Audible. Lisette Lacat. And the way she says, like, ma romotsue, so good. But all of the words that I would pronounce wrong when I was reading it to myself, I don't know. And she does the different voices, and I really enjoy it. So I'm reading The Handsome Man's Deluxe Cafe right now.
That is such a good title. Such a good title. I really like that series too, but I haven't done them on audio.
And, you know, part of the problem with audiobooks is they take so much longer to listen to than you could just if you sat down and read it. But if you use it as a way to get more reading in when you couldn't otherwise read, like when you're driving or when you're doing housework or when you're, you know, like running errands or walking the dog or whatever, then it's different because it just is another way to sneak in more reading rather than slowing you down.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with you on that. Okay, so you mentioned working at the library.
I worked at the library for 3 years. I loved it, and it was so great. It was a great job. At the time, our kids were fairly little, 2, 4, and 6, or we just had the 3 at the time. And I would work in the evenings on call. And so they would just call me if they had someone call out sick or whatever. I would work in the evenings or on weekends and work at the front desk and help people find books. It was awesome. Every single time I would think, I can't believe they're paying me. I would do this for free. Like, I've been with small children all day, and I can come to the library and talk with people about books and just live in the stacks for 4 hours. They don't even need to pay me for this. But they did. Great. It was great.
Yeah, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, it wasn't very long. I mean, it was just a few years before we moved to a new town, and then I didn't pick that back up again. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, but you're still helping people figure out what to read. Okay, so you've kind of hinted at this, but can you walk us through why, when it came time to like double down on books and reading and how you wanted to spend your time, the read aloud angle was the one you chose? Tell us how that happened.
Yeah, well, basically, I started reading aloud to my kids a ton after hearing Andrew Pudua's talk called Nurturing Competent Communicators.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was that?
That had to have been 7 or 8 years ago,
okay.
I think. That's a guess, but something like that. And when I kind of doubled down on reading aloud to my own kids, especially the ones that were starting to read on their own, I saw, yeah, it helped them with their vocabulary. Yes, they became more articulate. Yes, their writing improved. But I was completely floored by the fact that we had this brand new shared vocabulary, or like another, I guess, a shared experience. Kind of like if you take your whole family to the movie, it gives you this bond. Like afterwards, you all want to talk about it, or you see something that reminds you of something you saw in the movie and it makes everybody laugh, or it can become an inside family joke. That started happening all the time, even with my little kids. And it became probably my favorite way to start spending time with my kids, especially when days get tense, or you know how parenting is, and you start to have a hard time liking your children. Am I saying this on air? Well, I find that reading with my kids is a way easier way to reconnect with them than, say, playing a board game or talking or sitting down on the floor and playing Legos, heaven forbid. So I can read to my kids, and it kind of connects us faster and easier. It takes less of a, I don't know, gumption on my part than almost anything else, but it's super effective.
Okay, so it's effective and enjoyable.
Exactly. And what I've noticed is I've got to be enjoying the books too. So there have been several books that I haven't enjoyed reading aloud so much, and we ditch them, or I'll oftentimes hand them to my readers and say, I know you're really liking this. You can read this one on your own. I'm going to read something else, because my number one priority with reading with my kids is that we're enjoying our time together, like creating happy memories and making strong connections together. So we all have to be enjoying ourselves for that to happen. Plus, if you're reading aloud a book with your kids that you don't enjoy, you will put that sucker off, and it will take you forever to get through a book. Mm-hmm. Ask me how I know this.
I can only imagine. So you have quite the age range in your family. So it sounds very straightforward. Like, you just need a book everybody enjoys, but you need to please 3-year-olds and 15-year-olds and you and everybody in the middle. How do you approach that when you're choosing books? And what titles have you really landed on that everybody has loved?
Yeah, that could be tricky. And my kids' age spans are really, I mean, I have a 15-year-old and 3-year-olds and everything kind of in between. So what I have found is kind of grouping the kids. I don't try to read something my 15-year-old and my 3-year-old are going to like. That's not going to work. But I will group kind of the younger kids. So they're 3-year-old twins and a 4-year-old. We can read something together. Mm-hmm. My older kids are 15, 13, and 11. Now, there's a huge difference between my 11-year-old son and my 15-year-old daughter. But there are some really fantastic books that will appeal to everybody. There are a few that I have found to be really successful with my multiple ages. And then when I recommend them, people come back and say, I can't believe that worked with my 6-year-old. And my 10-year-old, this is crazy. Okay, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by Frank Baum is complete. If you've just seen the movie, you really need to read the book because it's a million times better than the movie. It's also not as scary. So if you're worried about your 5-year-old or something being scared of the Wicked Witch of the West is in a single chapter, and she's just not nearly as frightening. But the story is so good. So The Wonderful Wizard of Oz was probably one of my all-time favorite read-alouds, even for me. Mm-hmm. And then The Little House on the Prairie series is fantastic, but I'm going to give a big old caveat here because I tried to read The Little House in the Big Woods with my oldest kids when they were 5 and 3 because I was super excited to read them, you know, because I remembered them and I thought, I'm going to, everybody loves these books, so we're going to love them too. But, you know, you can only read so many pages of how exactly long each log was that Pa used to build the cabin before. It's just really long descriptive passage after long descriptive passage, and it can be kind of hard to read aloud. So I always recommend that people listen to the audio version that is read by Cherry Jones, which is magnificent. I mean, truly well done. And that one, when we put that one on in the car, the 3-year-old and my husband are equally captivated. It is fantastic.
Because it's so good. Even my oldest son, who's 13, he really loves Farmer Boy because the way, you know, the way Laura Ingalls Wilder describes food, it kind of goes on forever. But Cherry Jones makes it sound like an advertisement, just on and on about how the table was laden with all these dishes and pumpkin pie and we're all salivating. And yeah, if you want something to appeal to a teen voice.
Yeah, that's a hard one to listen to when you have morning sickness. Ask me how I know this. I'm like, okay,
I'm
kids,
sorry.
I'm gonna listen to something else.
About
another one that's really fantastic is Caddy Woodlawn. So if you like Little House, or if you want one that appeals a little more to your boys than Little House might right off the bat, Caddy Woodlawn by Carol Ryrie Brink is possibly just as good as Laura Ingalls Wilder.
High praise. What about the younger kids? What do they love? Or what did your kids, you know, what did they love when they were younger?
Well, okay. So for my younger crowd now, who are 3 and 4, my twins are 3. Claire's 4. We read mostly picture books, and we can read a big old stack of picture books. Their favorite current right now is by Ben Hatke, and it's called Nobody Likes a Goblin. I don't really know why they love it so much, but I don't know if they've ever loved a book that much. I mean, they are captivated, and we'll read it 3 or 4 times in a row. And it's funny. There's great illustrations, and Ben is a young, really talented artist and author, and so it's fun to find books by new author. Well, he's not brand new, but newish authors and illustrators that are that well done. But I'm not even sure I know why they love it so much. But I have never met a kid who we've recommended that book to who didn't love it. So
awesome.
That's probably. And then when they're just kind of at that age where they're starting to listen to chapter books, but so you want to kind of, you know, maybe you're ready for doing something more than a picture book, but they're not ready for Little House. I don't think you can go wrong with something by E.B. White. So either Trumpet of the Swan or Charlotte's Web or Stuart Little, any of those are going to be wins.
We've also really liked the audio of those. There's a theme here. My voice gets tired. So having good audio books like on your phone, or I was going to say in your pocket, but really I meant in my phone, in my pocket, is really, really helpful. And my kids can turn them on themselves if we get the CDs from the library. Sarah, your mission is to help. I'm totally stating it back to you. These are not Sarah's words, but your mission is to help kids like discover and fall in love with reading and become readers for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed some common themes between adults who love to read and kids who love to read?
Okay, so here's something to think about. As a grown-up, when you go to your own book club meeting, let's say you just read The Help, right? And you're going to go talk about it with your friends at your book club. Can you imagine if you walked into your book club meeting and somebody said when you walked in, you need to take this little quiz We want to make sure that you read the book. And it's a quiz that's like, what happened in the book? Why did this character do this? What happened after this other character did that? It completely would shock you, right? Can you imagine? I always laugh thinking about this because it would be such an affront as a grown-up for someone to quiz whether or not we read it before we could talk about it.
I don't think I'd come back. Even if I read it, I'd be like, what do you mean you want me to take a quiz? Yeah.
Well, exactly. And it seems like it would be so, I don't know, it would undercut what could really happen in that book club when you start talking about the actual book. And if somebody can talk about a book well, then they've very likely read it. But one of the things that we do with kids all the time in school is we do that exact thing. They have to take comprehension quizzes to make sure that they actually read it. So I understand why schools do that. But I think at home, we have this really unique opportunity as parents to help our kids fall in love with reading and to completely step outside of that schoolish way of thinking about reading and just talk to our kids about what they're reading like we're book club, like we're all in a book club together, like we're allies or friends or just book club peeps instead of being, you know, parent, child, teacher, student kind of relationship. And when we do that, what I find with my kids is when I'm really open to having these organic, chatty conversations about books and they don't think I'm quizzing them or drilling them or looking for the right answer, they're really excited to talk to me about what they're reading and they're really open to my suggestions. So they don't feel like I'm recommending something because it's good for them or because mm-hmm. it's on grade level, mm-hmm. but because I really loved this book and I bet you will too.
Mm-hmm. Which is how a lot of readers rediscover reading in their, well, you know, I'm in my 30s and I hear from a lot of readers in their 20s and 30s and 40s. Like, somebody told me about this great book, so I picked up a book for the first time in ages and I loved it. Now what, you know, what helped me find more? And it's the same way with our kids.
Yeah. And the other thing I think is just as grown-ups, we schedule time for ourselves to read, or we make time for ourselves mm-hmm. to read, and that's why we love it. But we, for the most part, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't necessarily true. It depends. I don't give myself a book list that I have to get through, you know. So basically, I schedule my time, but not my titles. Mm-hmm. And I try to do that with my kids, too. So I don't ever assign particular books for my kids to read. I give them lots and lots of space and time to read. And I fill the books with, or they fill the shelves rather, mm-hmm. with really good books. And I find that that makes a much healthier relationship between them and reading than it would if I told them, these are the 10 books that you're going to read this year, which completely turns it into a school assignment. And once something's a school assignment, nobody wants to do it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'd be interested to hear how you bring books into your household in such a way that your children are interested in reading them. And the reason I'm asking is we're coming up on the Christmas season and I love to give books as gifts for kids. And, you know, I love to get books as gifts. And a lot of people are in that same boat. Like, they love giving books because they feel like they're giving something that has actual value and endurance and won't end up at the bottom of the, you know, toy heap broken by January 15th. However, there's that danger of giving a child a book and saying, here, I want you to read this, and thereby ensuring that they will never touch it. So do you have advice? Like, I really want to help people who want to give books because they love reading and they love certain books and they just are so giddy at the idea of the children in their life that they love reading and enjoying these books. How do you choose books to give kids in such a way, and how do you present them in such a manner that kids actually will read them?
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to whatever your general default is with your relationship and your child and the way you approach books together will speak to this. Because if you're always assigning books or giving them to them kind of like a school assignment or like you should read this because you're 12 and all 12-year-olds should read this, it's going to change all the dynamics in the future about any gifts, books you give as gifts or any other books that you bring into your home. Whereas if you change that relationship and just make it more like we're, you know,
book peeps.
That we're book peeps, exactly, that were just book peeps that were, I love this book and I think you will too, it will change. So one thing I've done is I will read Kid Lit in front of my kids, books that I know my kids are going to enjoy. And I'll, you know, read them on my own, but just in their presence, right? So when everybody's reading or they'll see me reading in bed when they come in to kiss me goodnight or whatever. And I don't ever tell them necessarily, you have to read this, but I might just, we have this concept of strewing, where you just like throw the kind of like lay the books around the house and don't necessarily say this book is for this particular child. But if you have a child, let's say, that is really into, my son is kind of into architecture and also engineering, like the kind of way things work. So I can leave a David Macaulay book, like The Way Things Work Now, which is mm-hmm. brand new edition mm-hmm. of that book, just on the coffee table or on the couch. And if I leave it there, he's very likely when he sits down on the couch at the end of the day or whatever to just pick it up and start flipping through it, which is a totally different thing than me handing it to him and say, hey, you should read this. So strewing or just leaving things out in the home are a good idea. But if it comes to gifts, which you're totally just handing to a child, I would suggest getting books that you think your child would love, regardless of whether or not you think it has literary merit. So don't just give your kids classics. Classics are fantastic. And at some point, your kids will probably be open to taking classics from you. My girls now are very happy to take a classic from me because I think we've built up enough trust that they know I'm not just giving it to them to make them a better person, but mm-hmm. because it's a really good book. Mm-hmm. But be open to handing your child something that you don't necessarily see as high quality literary fare, but you think your child would just enjoy, because then they'll see you as their partner and not, you know, somebody they have to kind of protect themselves from.
Right. And it's highly unlikely they'll still be reading Captain Underpants when they're 25. If you could go back and tell younger Sarah something about raising readers, a little bit of a do-over situation here, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself not to worry if they aren't reading independently as early as I think they should. I spent a lot of time and energy worrying about none of my older three kids were early readers. In fact, my now 11-year-old son didn't read until he was 9. Again, even though we have a very bookish home, I was reading aloud constantly. I was trying to teach him how to read. He just wasn't ready. But I'll tell you what, we read aloud a ton. So his ears were constantly filled with really good language and good stories. And when he was able to finally kind of master the decoding that you need to do in order to read on your own, he went from reading Cat in the Hat to Harry Potter in the space of like 2 weeks. It was believable because the cadence and the language, it wasn't all new to him. It felt very familiar once he was able to decode the words. So I wish I could go back and say, hey, you know what? Even if your kids can't read until they're 9, like chill out. The most important thing here is that your kids want to read and mm-hmm. that they will read even when no one is asking them to, because they'll be able to read. They'll get that down. But you got to preserve that love, or it's hard to get that back later on.
I love it. Great advice. Okay, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we are going to give real kids recommendations for what they should. Here goes.
Hi, my name is Avery, and I'm 5 years old, and I'm starting to read some books. And my favorite book is Elephant and Piggy. It's so funny. What should I read next?
Oh my gosh, that message just slays me. She's so adorable.
Isn't she the cutest? Avery, yeah. We're glad you're starting to read some books now. Also, Elephant and Piggy is so great. I love those books.
They're so funny. Yeah.
Well, because I've read them over and over and over to my 6-year-old.
Well, and you probably like them just as much as she does, I bet, or at least laugh as often.
Well, the first 20 times. So
yeah.
But of all the ones to read over and over again, you know, Elephant and Piggy are pretty great. If you haven't found those readers, go check them out. Okay, Sarah, what do you think?
Okay, so if you like Elephant and Piggy, Avery, I would suggest that you find Fox and Crow Are Not Friends. That one's written by Melissa Wiley. Another one that I thought you might like is Pete the Cat. Anne, have you ever read any of Pete the Cat's?
We really like Pete the Cat at my house. My 6-year-old Silas came home from school with one day, and I did not know Pete the Cat until he went to kindergarten. But we have now read all the hardcover books, which we love. My child wants more Pete the Cat in his life, of course, and there are tons of I Can Read Pete the Cat books, just the little small $4 ones. Those do not have the same feel to them. Your child will probably want to read them if he loves Pete the Cat or if she loves Pete the Cat, but there's a definite difference in tone and quality between the two. So words of warning before you dive in.
Yeah, I think that's kind of true for a lot of the I Can Read books. Plus, mm-hmm. they look like the same books that your kids are probably having to read, like being required to read at school. And so the hardbacks will have definitely a different feeling.
Yes, definitely.
I also recommend a great book by BJ Novak called The Book with No Pictures. And it's true, it has no pictures, but here's why you want to read it anyway. When a grown-up reads this book to you, they have to say really silly things like blork and blurf and badoongy face and my face is made of blueberry pizza. And they even have to talk about a hippo named Boo Boo Butt, which sends my kids into fits of giggles every single time. And parents, this book can be enjoyed for kids as young as 3 or 4, but if you're reading it in a room with middle schoolers around, they'll sit up and pay attention. And yeah, it really is the same BJ Novak from The Office. So whatever preconceptions you have about that, for good or ill, it really is a good book. It's a lot of fun.
Hello, my name is Dane and I just started my first year of middle school. I really enjoyed Loot, Hunger Games, and Percy Jackson. I was wondering if you could recommend any books like that. Thanks.
All right, Sarah, what do you think?
Okay, this one's easy for me because, Dane, if you have not read anything by N.D. Wilson, you want to check him out. He's got a whole series called 100 Cupboards. He's got a brand new series that just started called Outlaws of Time. But all of his books, including The Dragon's Tooth, Boys of Blur, they're really fantastic. And if you like books that are intense like The Hunger Games, that have an element of magic like Percy Jackson, you're going to love, love, love N.D. Wilson's books.
Hi, Mrs. Bobo. My name is Sienna and I am 11. I'd like a book with a strong plot, any fiction series, and each book over 400 pages. I didn't like the Harry Potter series, but I love the Pegasus series by Kate O'Hara. Thank you.
She called me Mrs. Bogle.
That's such a great message. Okay, so this one was great because I went straight to my daughter, who also really loved the Pegasus series, and she had some instant recommendations for you.
What did she say?
Okay, she said the Fablehaven books by Brandon Mull. Those are favorites for both my son and my daughter. They both love them. And they're long and they have good, strong plots. And then also the Septimus Heat books. The first one is called Magic, M-A-G-Y-K. Have you read any of those?
Yes, that's so funny. Sarah, I did exactly the same thing. I went to my 11-year-old daughter and she also recommended the Septimus Heat books.
Yeah, that's perfect then.
I played Sienna's little clip for her, and the first thing I thought of, and Sarah did too, that would be Sarah, my daughter, she also said, well, she hasn't read the Pegasus series, but Sarah loves a series that sprung to mind for her, and we had to look it up. The first book clocks in at exactly 400 pages. It is the Rupert Redford series by Lauren Child. So if you know Lauren Child from Charlie and Lola for the younger
set, yeah.
Or Clarice Bean. So in Clarice Bean, Ruby Retford is Clarice Bean's favorite fictional heroine. Child brought her back and made her own book series about her. So she is a girl spy. And they're not, if Sienna didn't like Harry Potter, I'd like these for her because Ruby Retford is more childlike, but they're not childish. They're imaginative, but they're still a little realistic. And for adult readers, they're pretty good. It's a fun series. There's 4 books in it so far, and it could be a nice change of pace from that fantasy.
I have not seen those, so I'm writing that down.
Well, they're fun. They're really fat, and they look pretty side by side on a bookshelf, too.
That's important.
That is important. We have the, Sienna, this, we'll see. We're tossing out a good long series for an 11-year-old girl. I thought of it because the Mother-Daughter Book Club series looks really nice on a bookshelf with the hardcover edition. They're polka dots
yes, it
on
does.
The spines. Any girl ages, in my house it was about age 7 or 8. They're actually intended for a little bit older, but there's nothing I found like objectionable in content about them. But it's about middle school girls being girls, realistic fiction. These are, Sarah, you were saying that your reluctant reader went from reading Cat in the Hat to reading Harry Potter in the span of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my third child, Lucy. She was the one on the podcast back in April. She didn't get it until she got it. And she started reading smoothly, independently when she was 7. She was sounding out words the week before. And then all of a sudden she was reading the Mother-Daughter Book Club because when it clicked in the span of 2 weeks.
But yeah, my older daughter loved that series.
If you have a child who loves realistic fiction about kids like them that they can relate to, it's a great series to try. I don't know if all the books are over 400 pages, but they're not short and there's plenty of them.
Yes, definitely.
Hi, Miss Anne. My name is Ivy, and I am 9.5 years old. I love descriptive books, such as the Tuesdays at the Castle series. I'm excited to hear your recommendations. Thank you!
Sarah, what do you think?
Okay, first of all, if you haven't seen The Wide Awake Princess by E.D. Baker, I believe that's the first book in a series. I'm not sure how many are in the series now, but my daughter, who loved Tuesdays at the Castle, also loved The Wide Awake Princess, and I think you'll enjoy that as well. Another one, and this was one of my favorites that I read last year, and my kids loved it too. It's really funny, very descriptive, kind of silly in a good way. It's called The Rise and Fall of Mount Majestic by Jennifer Trafton. This is probably one of the best kids' books I've ever read, but it's really, really good. My kids loved it. And I had all of my kids listening to this one out loud, from the 15-year-old down to the four-year-old daughter. They all loved it so much. So if you liked Tuesdays at the Castle, I bet you'll like The Rise and Fall of Mount Majestic. And then my other recommendation for you is Princess Academy by Shannon Hale, which some of my girls have read more than once because they thought it was so wonderful.
I was thinking Princess Academy as well. I really like the sound of those other two. I'm going to go find them for my daughter.
Yeah, Shannon Hale, who wrote The Princess Academy, is coming on to the Read Aloud Revival in December and to meet the kids and answer their questions live on screen. I'm super excited about that.
That sounds amazing.
Hi, I'm Jace from Wisconsin, and I'm 10 years old. I like the books Harry Potter and Warriors. Will you find me a good book series to get me through the winter?
I'm not surprised. The kids want to know what to read if they love Harry Potter. You must get this a lot. What do you think?
We get it all the time. And I'll tell you, when you finish reading a series that you absolutely loved, especially if you love something as wonderful as Harry Potter, it's really, really hard to find something else that will fit the bill. But I have a couple that I think could give Harry Potter a run for their money. So I'm going to throw a few of these out there for you, Jace. The first one is called The Wingfeather Saga. The first book in the series is On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness. There's four books in this series, and I have heard plenty of children say they like it even better than Harry Potter. So give it a whirl and see what you think. It's pretty fantastic. There's a lot of fantasy elements, just like Harry Potter and Warriors. It's a bit intense, but not too scary that it's not suitable for a 10-year-old. I think you're going to really, really like that one. Another series that's great and nice and big and fat and will take you a bit to get through is The Mysterious Benedict Society by Trenton Lee Stewart. And these ones are a little bit mysterious. And when I started the first one, I had a hard time putting it down. So if you like page turners like Harry Potter, I think you'll probably enjoy The Mysterious Benedict Society. And then the other series that I would recommend is The Chronicles of Prydain by Lloyd Alexander. It starts with the Book of Three, and my daughter, who's a huge Harry Potter fan, had a hard time putting these ones down. I think she was surprised by how much she liked this series. So start with the Book of Three and see what you think.
Hi, I'm Sigrid. I'm 10. I live in Delaware, and I like books that are about real kids in real situations. I also like graphic novels like Smile and Roller Girl, and I would love it if you could give me some more recommendations like that. Thank you.
Sigrid, I'm going to tackle the graphic novels question because those are a little harder to find. First, I want you to check out Sunny Side Up by Jennifer and Matthew Holm.
So, yay!
Yay, do you know this one?
Yes, that's the one I was going to recommend too.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so 10-year-old Sunny ends up in a retirement community in Florida because of some family troubles. So Walt Disney World is hours away. She can't do that. A trip to the post office is where the big adventure happens. So she has to figure out what is she doing with all these senior citizens in Florida. And of course, all the old ladies love her. And there are some funny little comics about that. But she finds one other child around named Buzz, who's the son of the groundskeeper. And she discovers superhero comics. And then adventures ensue. It's a lot of fun. The next one I'm going to recommend is Frazzled by Bookie Vivat, who I met in person. And she is a delight. Your heroine is Abby Wu, who is a Chinese-American tween, and she is worried about everything. She just thinks she's doomed. She's about to start middle school, and she says that nothing good ever happens in the middles. And she feels like her family doesn't understand her, and she has a younger sister who's just adorable. Her name is Clara. She says cute things and she looks cute, and it's just really annoying to have a baby sister who's so cute, and her big brother is good at everything and she's just stuck in the middle, generally freaking out. As you can see, it's ripe for comic potential. It's a lot of fun. Finally, If you haven't checked out the Babysitter's Club graphic novel series, that series is beloved by people my age and people your age because it's about real kids in real situations. So there aren't a ton of these available yet because the graphic novel editions are new, but they are being put out starting with number one. And readers who already love the series can experience the graphic novel edition. And if you've never read the Babysitter's Club, it sounds like this way to experience it is right up your alley.
Hi, my name is Marin, and I'm 8 years old, and I love The Magic Treehouse. Do you think you could help me find a series just as good?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marin, and I love it when you find a good series, right? It's really hard to find something else, another series that will capture you just as much. But if you haven't read Encyclopedia Brown yet, I think you should try it, because Encyclopedia Brown is a 10-year-old detective, and he's got this uncanny knack for trivia and solving mysteries in his neighborhood. His dad is also the police chief in the city, and so at the dinner table in the evening, Encyclopedia Brown, who's 10, helps his dad solve some of his hardest, trickiest crimes. So they're really fun. They're a little bit mysterious, and they're not quite magical like Magic Treehouse, but I think you'll like them anyway, and there's a whole bunch of them. And then another series that I think is really fun are the McBroom books. And there's only a couple of them, so they won't take you very long, but I bet you'll love them. McBroom's Wonderful 1 Acre Farm is a little collection of three stories that are pretty fun and funny. Anne, have you read any of the McBroom's books?
No, I've never heard of the McBroom's books.
Oh, they're really fun and they're quick, but they're about Josh McBroom, who he learns, and in the Wonderful 1 Acre Farm, he learns that the 80 acres that he just purchased in Iowa are all actually 80 acres stacked on top of each other in this muddy pond. And so he thinks he's, to quote the book, bamboozled. It's pretty funny. It's a pretty wonderful read. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend for you, Marin.
The rite of passage books at our house, when we graduated Magic Treehouse, we went on to the A to Z mysteries, which are likable because there are just so many of them. And it's a small step up in reading level, but it's definitely a step up. They're called the A to Z mysteries because they have names like The Absent Author, The Bald Bandit, The Canary Caper, and it just goes on and on and on. This series is about three kids named Dink, Josh, and Ruth, who live in a small little town in Connecticut, and they're third graders. They live near each other, and their hobby is figuring out a good mystery. So you do not need to read these in order. You can just get whatever you like. If you're like my kids, you just snag whatever ones the library happens to have in stock. Just dive in. They're a lot of fun. Sarah, it's been so much fun talking books with you today. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been a blast.
Hey readers, weren't those kids amazing? I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, and I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Sarah as well. Head over to the podcast site for the full list of titles Sarah and I talked about today, including the books we recommended to the kids. That page is at whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/49. Let me know there what you thought of our recommendations and share your recommendations for what the kids should read next or what you think Sarah and I would love. Also, make sure you check out Brightly Gifts, a brand new shop that features unique books and thoughtful products handpicked by the Brightly editors. Check out Brightly Gifts today at readbrightly.com/gifts. Use the code BGHOLIDAY2016 to get 20% off any purchase plus free ground shipping. That's readbrightly.com/gifts and enter the code BGHOLIDAY2016 to get 20% off your purchase. If you love KidLit the way Sarah and I do, you're going to want to check out all the other ways to participate in Reading for a Lifetime this week. I'm hosting two Twitter chats for the first time, one on Monday, November 14th, which is the day this episode goes live, and the next on Thursday, the 17th. Both chats will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be talking all about children's literature, raising readers, the importance of reading models and mentors, and incorporating the joy of KidLit into your life even as an adult. You can follow me at Ann Bogle, that's Ann with an E, B as in books, O-G-E-L, and turn on my tweet notifications to be alerted when the conversation starts. I'm so ready to chat with you. We're also hosting an Instagram photo challenge this week. Follow the podcast at What Should I Read Next to see all the details there. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. And as Rainer Maria Rilke said, ah, how good it is to be among people who are reading. Happy reading, everyone.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Sleep Cove podcast can help you. Hi, I'm Christopher Fitton, the voice and clinical hypnotherapist behind Sleep Cove. Sleep Cove features sleep hypnosis, meditations, and bedtime stories, all designed to help those of you who struggle at night to achieve a restful and peaceful night's sleep. Search for Sleep Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see why Sleep Cove helps millions of people sleep deeply all night long.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.